Wes Tuttle, thank you very much. Wonderful Thanksgiving music. This Thanksgiving Eve has put us into a wonderful attitude of worship. Talk a little bit about that in a moment. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer before we go into our study. And I know Gigi has some prayer requests. What do you got, Gigi? All right. Okay. 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 How's Lee doing? Okay. Any other prayer requests? Okay, we just need to be in a prayerful attitude, a Thanksgiving prayer. We have so much to be thankful for in our own personal lives and dealing with salvation and health and family with you and so many wonderful things to give thanks for. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Get ready for our study tonight in the Scriptures dealing with Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the celebration of Thanksgiving in this country. Heavenly Father, however, we are to be thankful every day for your marvelous grace that you bestow. We pray, Father, that your Spirit will lead us tonight as we go through some beautiful passages in the attitude of Thanksgiving to set our soul, our mind, and our thinking in the proper attitude of this season. Father, we're thankful for the freedom we enjoy in America. Our prayers are extended to our president, to all of our political leaders, and to our military personnel. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. I want to start off tonight. I gave you a handout. Those of you that are listening via the internet or disc or tapes, I'm going to read to you the handout that I have given, and we'll note a few comments about them as we read through it. I want you to kind of pay attention. What we're getting ready to read is something that was delivered in 1789. So 200 years ago, you'll see how far down our country has come. And what we're going to be reading is the first Thanksgiving proclamation issued by President George Washington. So let's read the first proclamation, Thanksgiving proclamation, at the very beginning of our nation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. Well, we can kind of forget that in America. We don't do that. To obey His will. We now deny His even existence and His name is not allowed in our schools. To be grateful for His benefits and humbly to implore His protection and favor. I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to read each paragraph and then I'll make my editorial remarks. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our service and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which He has been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may then unite in most humble offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporary prosperity as God alone, knows to be best. Given unto my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, A.D. 1789, George Washington. Now, from the time of George Washington in 1789, Thanksgiving has gone through a great deal of political, social battles. It is, as of course, if you're thinking about this now, 1789, as America moved westward and more states, both in their just their formation before they even became states, and then when they became states, some of them brought in a Thanksgiving attitude. Some of them later picked them up. The war between the states drastically attacked the whole concept of Thanksgiving. It became a political issue. And there are various times when it sounds like the scribes and the Pharisees fighting over the Passover. Not so much the ideal of the Passover, but when it should be done and all. And lo and behold, it wasn't until 1941 that the Congress of the United States instituted the last Thursday of each month as an official Thanksgiving holiday. But it was given, as we said, in 1789, and was finally put into a record of a national holiday in 1941. And that took some doing just to get it up to that point. There is a history of Thanksgiving is an interesting study in America, and as I said, politically, socially, so many things are done about it, with it. It's been accredited with so many wonderful things and some not so wonderful things. But George Washington's speech, I think, is so wonderful. I want to read through it a little bit, just talk about our America today that we know. What an attitude it must have been in America in the first 100 years when everyone was in agreement with this up to the Civil War. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, and we don't do that in America, to obey His will, and that certainly is out. We now want to take out under God and our flag, and what is the statement on the dollar bill, God and that, they want to take that out, and We just wanted to remove God, and yet our founding forefathers, this was the foundation of this country. To be grateful for his benefits and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And this is unfortunately a great number of people now. We, the last many presidents, including Clinton, have prayed publicly, and I'm very happy about that in that respect. But as policies and judicial decisions, this is not done in America. The second paragraph, whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. We don't add that prayer today too much, just thanksgiving. But the original forefathers, it was a day of thanksgiving and prayer. And to take the day off, in other words, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peacefully to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. And now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November. Now, that would be the last Thursday of November. And so, if you just chop through history, what he said is what we have. It's the last Thursday in the month of November is the day we do this. And so I think that's wonderful. I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next, meaning next month, November, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our service and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation. I wish we still had that attitude in America today. For the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, the war for independence, for our freedom. For the great degree of tranquility, that's one thing we don't have in America today. We can give thanks for tranquility. Great degree of tranquility, union, we don't have that. Plenty, which we have since enjoyed for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed. See, freedom of religion doesn't mean that, never meant take God out. They never meant that. What that meant was you just wouldn't have a state religion controlling like they had in England, where the Church of England ruled, or in Germany and other places in Europe, where the church was entwined with politics and ruled the people. The Roman Church did a lot of ruling. And none of that was to be done here in America. That's the real break, the difference. Here we're praying to the Almighty God in this regard. And the means we have acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us, upon America. And also that we may be then unite in most humbly offering our prayers, coming together in prayer, regardless of your denomination, and supplications to the great Lord and the ruler of nations. What a great attitude for a president of the country to have. And beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional law, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be best. Given unto my hand, the city of New York, 3rd day of October, A.D. 1789. That's a political proclamation, and a good one. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to a proclamation by God. Let's start off by looking at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. This is the most blatant proclamation by God. And I'll just say it humorously because I love what George Washington said. But whereas man took a long time, took a lot of words to say what we're doing, look how simple it is stated by Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Same type of things that George Washington said we pray, here we do, but with an attitude of thanksgiving, whatever it may be, for all things. And in our normal study on Wednesday night of Job, it's very difficult to picture Job doing it right now, but I know that when Job is through in chapter 42, he will give thanks. I'd like you to turn to Colossians chapter 4. Just turn the page there. You should be in Colossians, a couple of pages, depending on your Bible. And we'll read chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 2. Another proclamation. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. I'm afraid a lot of people don't really know how to pray. And there's a lot of prayer abuse, thinking we can control God with our prayers, and we cannot control God with prayer. But we're commanded to pray to Him with this attitude of thanksgiving. So devote yourself to something you do all the time. You just devote yourself to it, to prayer. And I'm not here to get too involved in any of these passages, but devote. You got to be devoted to things. And there are things that we're devoted to in life, or you should be devoted to in life, and your marriage, and different things in life, your health, or whatever it may be. Here, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. Look back at Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And we know how that happens, and that's by the power of the Spirit. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, the church, and be thankful. So this is another very beautiful thing. It comes off of verse 14, which I love. Verse 14, and beyond all these things, there's a whole list of things we want to do in an attitude of the Holy Spirit. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace that comes when you have that love inside of the Holy Spirit gives, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let it rule in your hearts. That's where you want the peace to be. And continuing going kind of backwards, go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, it was written before Colossians, or it's in your Bibles before Colossians. 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9:11. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Okay, if a pastor's doing his job in teaching how all things are from God, it draws an attitude of thanksgiving. Just draws that attitude. Now, those of you that come on Tuesday night to our study in Revelation, thanksgiving is very much part of the heavenly singing. Turn to Revelation 7:12. We'll be getting in our next chapter. We're in chapter 6 now. Let's look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 12. Now, if you'll note at the end of verse 11, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. And here's what they said in their worship: God, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Thankfulness, the Greek word, English word, is to be full of thanks. If we did a technical study of words, this word thankful is an outward expression of a thankful attitude. Have an attitude inside. Now, I want to use another word to show you some differences. The word gratitude. The word gratitude. The word gratitude comes from the Latin, gratitudo. And gratitude is the thinking or the mindset of thanksgiving, of being thankful. Another way of looking at the difference in these two words, thankful is measured by words. What is said or sung? Thank you very much. I think it's a appropriate and a thing that will lead to the spirit-filled life once a little child grows into the spirit-filled life to have an attitude of being thankful for anything and everything. I remember growing up, we had so many traditions in our home with Thanksgiving and Christmas. And at Christmas, there would be, my goodness, on Christmas morning with aunts and uncles and cousins and everybody, the average would be around 25 people every Christmas morning gathering. And no matter what you opened, you had to be sure that you told Aunt Elsie, thank you for the handkerchiefs. You know, thank you for the cookies. Thank you for this. I don't like it, but thank you. And it was just, you had to do it. And it's just something that is naturally done to say thank you. Well, thankful, being thankful is measured by words. Now, gratitude, the Latin word, is measured by the nature of actions. It's measured by the nature of the actions. Example, a person may appear to be thankful, thank you very much, at the time of something, but afterward proves to be ungrateful by their actions, what they later do or say. They may sound thankful and express thanksgiving in words, but they're not. The attitude of being having gratitude for it is not there. They'll walk away running you down. They'll walk away, well, they could have given me more. Well, they should have given me more. Well, they gave with control. Well, they gave with this. And they gave with... They didn't have an attitude of thanksgiving. They were not grateful. They had the grateful words, but they didn't have the gratitude in their soul. Another way of looking at this, and this is not from me, this is taken out of a new word study. Thankfulness is the beginning of gratitude. Thank you. That's the beginning of gratitude. Gratitude, which is the action of expressing it, is the completion of true thanksgiving. Now, having those words and that differentiation in your mind, in the New Testament Greek, there is no Greek word that makes a distinction between thankfulness and gratitude. However, it's very interesting. The New American Standard, not the NIV and not the King James, but the New American Standard does use the word gratitude. It's very interesting. And I want you to see the context now. If you remember what I just told you about thankfulness and gratitude. Thankfulness measured by words, gratitude measured by action, the nature of the action. A person may appear to be thankful, but as time afterward proves to be ungrateful by their actions, what they may say or do afterward. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, the Greek word that the New American Standard is going to translate gratitude, they will translate thankfulness or thankful in other passages. But it's very interesting that in this text, when we look at it, they translate it gratitude. And note the context in which they change the definition, because your King James and the NIV will use the word thankful or thanksgiving, that type of motif. But the NIV switched to gratitude. Look with me at the New American Standard did. New American Standard, Hebrews 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, cannot be taken away, let us show gratitude. Now, the King James and the NIV translate that thanksgiving, thankful. But the NIV says, a New American Standard says, show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service. Gratitude is expressed in your action. An acceptable service with reverence and awe. This is powerful in the distinction of the words that I just gave you, we just went over. Because gratitude is something deep inside. It's related to a true attitude, mindset, that we are thankful for this to the point that it causes a response. Whereas superficial word for just saying thankful is saying thank you very much, and then walk away running the person down, taking their money, taking their gifts, whatever it is, and then making sarcastic remarks. They should have given more. Look what they did. Da-da-da-da. And they gave with control. People, if you have that attitude, give it back. Don't take it and then run the person down. And many people do. They'll take the gift. They'll take the money. They'll take the stuff and then have that kind of an attitude behind their back. Look at 1 Timothy with me, and I'll turn with you on this one. Look at 1 Timothy, and we'll look at chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. New Testament, Paul's writing. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we want to read verses 4 through 6 to get the context of what the New American Standard is doing here. So we're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Verse 4, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. Okay, they translated the word that the King James and the NIV translates thanks, being thankful. They say, with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the Word of God and prayer. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. Goes with that attitude of being, having an attitude that is being grateful. Gratitude, followed by an action. To be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith, that's understanding of the truth of the Scriptures, Bible doctrine, if you please, and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Look at Colossians. Let's go back to Colossians. Just go from 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, back toward the front, toward the beginning of it, a couple of pages backward, toward the front of your Bible. Colossians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Verse 6 is a very important verse to us. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. How did we do that? By faith. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. In other words, it overflows to action in life. What I want to do now in regard to Thanksgiving is just look at some key passages in the Bible for you to think about if you have time tomorrow night or tonight and sometime in dealing with Thanksgiving. Let's start off with Nehemiah. That's way over in the Old Testament, right after the five books of Moses, and then you come to the history books, and then you'll come to Nehemiah. It's way out of place as far as its time factor. It's at the, near the beginning of the Bible, and it's written way after David, and it's written after the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. But be that as it may, let's look at, first of all, at Nehemiah 11. Having with the building of the walls, which Nehemiah was sent to do, rebuild the temple and the walls, it's filled with thanksgiving. And it's a good outline for us. Nehemiah 11, let's start with Nehemiah 11, verse 17. I want you to note some things that go with it. First of all, Nehemiah 11, 17, thanksgiving and prayer. Take a look. And Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son. We have a lot of the people here. I got off on the names and started hitting. I went, whoa, you'll never get through your text. So we'll just let those go. Asaph, who was the leader. If you remember, a lot of the Psalms have Asaph at the beginning. Who was the leader in the beginning? The thanksgiving at prayer. So here we have thanksgiving related with prayer. Look at chapter 12, verse 8 of Nehemiah. Songs. First of all, we have thanksgiving and prayer. Now I want you to see thanksgiving and songs. Verse 8 of chapter 12 of Nehemiah. And the Levites were Jeshua, and it goes through the various names, Judah, Mattaniah, who was in charge of the songs of thanksgiving. So we have prayer related to thanksgiving, songs related to thanksgiving. Also in chapter 12, while you're there, look at verse 27. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27. Now, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, remember Nehemiah came back to build the wall that Babylon had torn down and took Daniel off into hostage. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving, and with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. So here we have a celebration of what God has done with thanksgiving. And I encourage you, married people, to just, things happen in your marriage, to together give thanks to God for those things that you're happy that God has brought about as far as your life is concerned. In the same chapter, look at verse 46. Same chapter, verse 46. For in the days of David, remember Nehemiah's way after David, for in the days of David and Asaph in the ancient times, I called it ancient times, they were leaders of the singers, songs of praise, and hymns of thanksgiving to our God. Okay, let's note some of the Psalms. Let's go to the Psalms. Let's start with Psalm 26. There are so many other places. I've just picked out a few tonight for us to have fun with on this Thanksgiving Eve. Start us into the holiday with a good attitude about Thanksgiving. And might I say, even though there are very few here tonight, I'm thankful you're here to worship God together, and we can do this. I'm not worried about the numbers. Psalm 26, verse 7. Psalm 26, 7. And I almost got to where I started. I wanted to read every one of these psalms all the way through, and we'd never gotten through. 26, 7. That I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all thy wonders. So here's what that voice, that attitude of thanksgiving for what God has given and what God does. Let's look at Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 4. Psalm 42, 4. These things I remember and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throne and lead them in procession to the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. Here, almost relate Thanksgiving with a festival, a wonderful time in the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 69. Let's look at Psalm 69, verse 30. Psalm 69, verse 30. Context, verse 29. Just to keep it going for us here. Note the context. But I am afflicted and in pain. May thy deliverance, O God, set me securely on high. I will praise the name of God with song and shall magnify him with thanksgiving. And people, this is what we do. We magnify him. A lot of people don't like to say thank you because they're too arrogant. They're too self-centered. That's why a lot of people don't like gifts. They don't like gifts because you get a gift that makes them feel indebted to you. Well, I'm going to have to say thank you. I might have to give you a gift back. There are a lot of people that do this in life. They do not receive gifts. They don't give them. They don't have an attitude of thanksgiving. You know, thanksgiving is never something is given and you don't do it with control. You give, person says thank you fine. They don't say fine. Thank you fine. But a good attitude is to always say thank you. To teach our children to do that is very much befitting. Let's go to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Psalm 95. And verse 2 is our verse, but let's just read verse 1. Praise to the Lord and warning against unbelief. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalm. So we come before him with thanksgiving. Just thank you. Thank you for all that you have given. Some people are legitimately thankful. Some are not. In the power of the Spirit, of course, we are legitimately thankful. Let's look at Psalm 116. Psalm 116, 17. Psalm 116, verse 17. Verse 16 of this, we want verse 17, but look at 16. O Lord, surely I am thy servant. What an attitude. I am thy servant. I am thy servant, the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Isn't it beautiful? I'm your servant, but you've loosed my bonds. You've set me free. So now I can serve you this way. Verse 17, to thee I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. In other words, a gift of thanksgiving. A call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 147. Psalm 147. And what we want to do is look at verse 7. Psalm 147, verse 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre. And one more, and then I want to close with something else. Look at Isaiah 53. Let's go look at Isaiah. Isaiah 51, I'm sorry. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, verse 3. Isaiah 51, verse 3. I like the first verse from our study in the Gospel of John. When I was reading this, getting ready for tonight, I looked and, whoa, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord. Remember the first thing in Romans 10? The Jews who seek a righteousness, but not with the true knowledge. And so, therefore, they chose their righteousness over the righteousness of God. These are the kinds of verses that are so powerful in that respect. But let's look at verse 3 of Isaiah 51. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and her wilderness. He will make like Eden. In other words, very beautiful. Their wilderness now from their rejection. But when they return, when they turn positive, they'll be like Eden. This is what can happen in our own hearts, by the way. And her desert, like the garden of the Lord. So when you're out of the plan of God, your life and your soul is like a desert. But he can turn it into a garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and a sound of melody. All right, I'd like to close with studying a psalm and dealing with thanksgiving. Look with me at Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We're going to end with five verse study of a psalm of thanksgiving. Psalm 100 begins a psalm of thanksgiving, and that's part of the inspired scripture. That's not an editorial remark. That's part of the inspired scripture. A psalm of thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. So, thanksgiving is associated or characterized in this study by joyful sounds. So, here we're studying thanksgiving. And we're just going to make some notes here as we go through this. Thanksgiving. So first of all, it is shown by joyful sounds. It says shouts, but so joyful sounds, and that means audible, but joyful shouting to the Lord. Okay, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, if we stay with the Psalm of Thanksgiving, this gets to that gratitude principle. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. So, secondly, is the idea of serving. Serve the Lord. You know, a lot of people don't like that. Well, we're not servants of God. It's a joy and a pleasure to be a servant. A man who truly loves his wife loves being her servant. A woman who truly loves a man enjoys being his servant. We enjoy. We want to. When you don't have that, there's something missing in your life. So thanksgiving is associated with serving with an attitude of gladness. Now, how do we do that? That's by the Holy Spirit and the truth of the gospel. In other words, by the understanding of doctrine and the power of the Spirit. He gives you this happiness. Then we come to Him. So the third is come. We come to Him. In fact, I'm just going to stay with the verses. We're in verse 2. We come to Him with that attitude of thanksgiving. Verse 3. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We didn't bring about our own existence. He made each one of us. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, this is a lot of things. We can take this person ourselves, but in context, they didn't make themselves the privileged nation of God. They did not make themselves the nation and the race and the people that God would come from. Jews began to set themselves apart like we are something really great. We've done this. No. We did not do this, is what the psalmist is saying. So look what it says. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us. Made us individually, yes, but made us the people that we are, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So know is the next thing we have. Under the third verse, know. How do we know? That is in the power of the Holy Spirit studying the Scriptures. I feel sorry for most Americans, believers, who do not study the Scriptures. They're just not getting into the text and learning what is going on in the text. Verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. give thanks to Him, bless His name. So, here we have, under verse 4, we have enter. We'll put it over here. Under verse 4, we have enter is an attitude of thanksgiving. Enter here with an attitude of praise and thanksgiving. That's our thinking. And His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. So here we have another exhortation. Give thanks. People, giving thanks to God does so many things. Number one, it keeps you oriented as to where all blessings come. Secondly, those things for which you give thanks become valuable in your life. That's why I encourage every husband to give thanks for his wife, every wife to give thanks for her husband. The things that you give thanks for are the things you value. You give thanks for this local church. As humble as it is, it becomes valuable to you if you give thanks for it every day. You cannot prayerfully go to God in the power of the Spirit daily, and daily, I mean every day, thank Him for something and it not become something valuable in your life. Not become a priority in your life. Conscious of it at all times. Then verse 5, for the Lord is good, His love is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Not long ago we did a study on how love and faithfulness were linked together. Here we find it again. So let's close in reading this beautiful psalm. A psalm for thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving Day tomorrow. Let's close in prayer. There's so few of us, Heavenly Father, here tonight, but we do sing praises to You. We sing praises to Your glory. You're our Creator. You're our Savior. You're our Provider. You're our happiness. Your love, Heavenly Father, is a haven in which we find rest. We thank You, Father, for these passages tonight that encourage us in their proclamation to have this attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude. Thanksgiving, Heavenly Father, and not being afraid to say thank You. Gratitude in letting our very actions show that we are thankful. By coming to Bible class, by praying, by giving, by witnessing, by walking in the Spirit. Father, we praise You for the God You are, in Your Son's precious name. Amen.